30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 and 30. The passage of Ephesians chapter 4 covers so many important topics or subjects. As you will recall, that's where we are in our Wednesday night, as we are looking on the subject of unity. And that's where we go tonight, as we look on the subject that was announced. Let us hear the passage.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
We ask that those who pin different tapes and things on these boards, you know, that we try to get them clean off properly. Because there were sellotape and there were some black spots there that we need special things to get off. Okay? Centrally, we want to look on the subject of grieving the Holy Spirit. One of the dangerous Christian God's people face is where in so many cases we can sin or be sinning and do not even recognize it. There is a great danger here, and we need to be mindful of that as we relate to and deal with the Holy Spirit. It is one of the areas that Christians are to be mindful of. I ask if Brother Webb will to read verse 29, just verse 29 again.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
Thank you, Brother Webb. I'm trying to see if I can find the passage. Let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth. Let me read it from the Amplified so that you will understand fully. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk come out of your mouth. But let it be only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing to give grace, that is God's favor, to those who hear it. As Christian, our danger Well, let me put it positively. Our Christ-likeness is shown not only by our walk, but by our talk. Very important. Now notice, when you read from the King James, let no corrupt communication. And you may think that the passage is emphasizing just nasty word, expletive. No! It has in mind unwholesome or worthless talk. The true child of God, the true Christian, is an ambassador at all times. An ambassador of the faith the person professes. An ambassador for Jesus Christ. Not just sometime in our lives, but at all times. All of our conversation, not some. All of our conversation provides an opportunity of imparting grace to those who might stand desperately in need of that grace. You and I can so carry on a conversation that the ungodly man in great need of Jesus Christ can be driven further by the very conversation that they pick up at least some of what we are saying. But the opposite is what the Bible, the passage here is talking about. Our conversation ought to provide opportunity so that it gives, it imparts grace to those who might stand in need of it. We must so talk at all times that even the bypassers who we didn't even know they were listening, when they pick up from what we are saying, at least it does not drive that person further away from Christ's grace. Christian should never forget or lose sight of those who are around us who are lost in sin. We must never forget them. Because a lot of times we are so taken up with what we are doing, what we want, what our impulse and our desire and our ambition and our cravings and our this dictates to our life, that we forget that the co-worker, my neighbor, the person on the street, the person who is passing by listening, we forget that that person needs Jesus Christ and probably I'm the only channel. In many cases, we forget. We should never forget or lose sight of them. Because these are the people that in so many cases, the Almighty God meant for us to be channel of blessing. But in so many cases, we are a different kind of channel. She's not here, so I can say it. I think it was Friday. Sister Crawford asked, we saw each other here, if I'll be commuting in going Mile Gully. I responded. What she said was that she's looking a drive. She would like to go to help with the knocking on door. But this is a statement which I thought was great and profound. She said, Brother Mitchell, even if me can go and knock on one door, that may make the difference. And I said, that's great. That is great. Just one door. If she can take a trip to Mile Gully, just for probably a half a day, and she was able only to knock on one door, and who to tell if knocking on that one door doesn't bring grace to the person occupying that house? It would have worked her time. And I said to myself, that's the attitude we are to have. You may not do the dozen things you want to do, but if you can do one, do it. The passage read speaks of our conversation. Our talk, this while many passages in the Bible speak of conversation and it means our manner of life, this one is talking about our talk. Huh? Remember what I said, it's not only our walk that determines whether we are Christ-like or not, but our talk. Verse 30.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed from the day of redemption. Sealed unto the day of redemption.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I was tempted to spend some time in this very lesson pointing out some specific things the Holy Spirit does in the life of the Christian today. Remember, the Holy Spirit does not work in our lives the same way He worked in the life of the apostles of Christ. You must forever keep that in mind. The apostles of Christ could do miracles. The Bible referred to it as signs, which no other Christian then or now can do. And the men and women today claiming to be apostles of Christ, they are false, they are liars. There's no apostles of Christ alive today. And apostles of Christ have to be one who saw Jesus Christ with his biological eyes, his physical eyes, after Jesus Christ came from the grave. In fact, in order to qualify Paul, Christ had to appear to Paul. That's right. In fact, Paul used that when his apostleship was questioned in the book of Corinthians. One of the questions he asked, have I not seen the law? There is no apostle of Christ today. What is the point? The Holy Spirit does not work the same way in the lives of ordinary Christians as He did work in the lives of the apostles of Christ in the first century. But the Holy Spirit does work in the life of God's people today. And as I said, I was tempted to spend some time on that, but probably another Sunday night. We need the Holy Spirit. in our lives. Without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we couldn't live the Christian life. We couldn't understand the world. Grieve not, the Holy Spirit of God. Any of the sins which the Holy Spirit through Paul forbids in these verses under consideration would grieve the Holy Spirit. But, get this, the command in verse 30 of Ephesians chapter 4 seems to be placing the emphasis against wrong path. Let me repeat. Any of the sins that are forbidden by Paul in this text, any of them can grieve the Holy Spirit. But in verse 30 here, on context, it appears quite plainly, if I may, to say that the emphasis Paul is targeting wrong, ungodly, unchristlike, filthy conversation or talk. Because you cannot cut away verse 29 from verse 30. Let us hear it, both verses again.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying.
The mouth. Here is another thing we must never forget. Unless we know something that God doesn't know. Of all the members of our body, the mouth poses more problems than any to the detriment of our soul. I repeat. No other part of our body, no other member poses the danger to our eternal welfare as the mouth or the tongue. None. It's the only member that is described as the world of iniquity. So here, read 29 again.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
Gossip is corrupt communication. Lying is corrupt communication. Backbiting is corrupt communication. Expletives are corrupt communication. Evil talking are corrupt communication. Idle talking or corrupt communication. And we can go on. Malignity. Coming out verbally is corrupt communication. Read again.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying.
When we talk, it must do good to those who hear it. Wait, This is a great challenge. Eh? That's right. Okay, I'm going to do that as of tomorrow. It's something to think about. It's something to meditate on so that little by little you get around to where your speech is Christ-like all the way. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
But that which is good.
But that which is good.
To the use of edifying.
So that it becomes the building up of the person who hears it. That's right. And this is for the child of God. We must be transmitters of God's grace. And one of the ways that is done is through our communication. Our talk.
That it may minister grace unto the hearers and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God.
You notice that do not, it is as if the apostle is saying, these corrupt talk communication do grieve the Holy Spirit. So don't do that. And grieve not
the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
We're not going to go there to chapter 1, verse 13, that talks about how the Holy Spirit, we are sealed when we believe. That is when we became Christian. We'll not go there. The New Testament reveal many other ways other than our talk in which we may sin against the Holy Spirit. And that is any man. One, a person may lust against the Holy Spirit. There is a conversation that it will be a long time for me to forget. I had just returned from college after studying in the U.S. for 5 years. And for the first few months I was attending Elliston Road, and the Jamaica School of Preaching was just about coming off its feet. You have people like Carl Maple, wonderful man. Kenneth Dye. And Carl Maple, we all were in a Bible study at Elliston Road. And in a study there, Brother Walker was doing this study. I pointed out that the word lust is not in itself a bad word. Because the word simply means desire. That's right. And for the next 15 minutes, of course, I was challenged that the word is a bad word. Now, because a word is used in a bad sense doesn't mean that the word is a bad word. Remember, the word lust simply means desire. I'll never forget Brother Maple, much older man than I was, and a wonderful person, but he challenged me, and we had a heated discussion. Because he was trying to show that the word lust is a bad word. I was down on the fact that it is not. And the passage I run to after we were discussing for some 15 minutes, and this person saying that, was the passage of Galatians chapter 5. And I think it was verse 17.
For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other.
You see, the spirit also lusts. What the passages talk about? It is the tug of war that goes on. The Holy Spirit trying to guide us and take control. But we want to have our own way, putting up resistance. That's not good for us. We may sin against the Spirit when we lust against the Spirit. That is, having desires and cravings that are contrary to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And this is the meaning of Galatians 5:17. But not only can we lust against the Spirit, remember the word lust means desire. That is, the Holy Spirit have one desire, an intent for us, but we continually fight against it. May I just pass this on? Brothers and sisters, remember that the Almighty God on many occasions gives us in His displeasure what He withheld in His mercy. The Almighty God will withhold something from you and me because He's gracious to us and merciful. But if we continue fighting against God's leading, if we continue resisting the Holy Spirit leading, after a while, God say, "Galang deno," and sooner or later we will realize and be sorry that we get what we wish for. Don't fight against the Holy Spirit. But there's another way man sins against the Holy Spirit. Christians and others may resist the Holy Spirit. That is a direct opposition blatant, proud, arrogant opposition. Look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, verse 51. Acts 7, 51.
He stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears.
Wait. You notice how these people are described? You stiff neck. Many of you town people have never led a donkey in the country. When that donkey wants to go its own way, you are coming from bush. Sometimes, of course, the donkey is led. The donkey wants to go its own way. And you're a stubborn donkey. You stiff neck.
And
uncircumcised
in heart
and ears.
Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost.
May I, brothers and sisters, this is not the same thing as lusting against the Spirit. While there is a borderline, it's not the same thing. This is a person who arrogantly, well, from the way the passage describes the person, listen to the description. Divine description.
He's stiff-necked and...
Stiff-necked. Wait. It simply means that this person have their eyes in this direction. And it doesn't matter what God does with that person. May I? A lot of times, it is a man or a woman who is wrongly led denominationally. The person was taught religious falsehood. And you sit down with the person and you open plain passages in the Bible and you said, Mr. Jones, read this. The person read it and the person understood it. And the person will look on it, and the more they look on it, is the more God opened their eyes to see the truth. And they will shut the Bible and give it back to you. Yes, they are stiff-necked.
And uncircumcised in heart.
That means their heart is difficult, if not impossible, to touch. It's not like Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened to give heed to what Paul then said. Some people are not like that. They are too stubborn to be saved. Wait, it's not that God doesn't want them to be saved. Is that they tell themselves, if they are going to be saved, they are going to be saved their way. So you know what we show them? Anything where God say in our Bible. That's their attitude. The Bible describes them as stiff-necked, uncircumcised, not only in their heart, but their
ears.
Their ears. That's right. They strive against the Holy Spirit. Always fighting with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we come in the church and after we begin to take God's word for granted, we fall into that category. That's right. Something said or taught that we don't like. And if God himself were standing before some people, they would arrogantly put up opposition. A third way in which the Bible shows that Christians may lie, may sin against the Holy Spirit, is that a person may lie to the Holy Spirit. Acts 5:3. Let us hear it.
But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?
May I? At this time, my memory cannot recall any man or woman, and I say at this time, who has ever lied to the Holy Spirit this way. The Holy Spirit makes his appearance and the Holy Spirit gives the person a particular direction or asks the person a particular question and the person denies or lies. No, we lie to the Holy Spirit through those who represent the Holy Spirit. When Ananias lie to the Holy Spirit. Ananias was not thinking of any Holy Spirit. Ananias saw Peter, a fellow human being. But Peter posed a question that had to do with the will of God and the issue of the Holy Spirit. Ananias had the opportunity and his wife to just tell the simple truth. Did you sell the land for so much? It's your land. So no problem by telling me the truth. It's your land. When it was sold, it was yours. Before it was sold, it was yours. After it is sold, it is yours. Yes, we sell it only for so much. My God. It's your land. You don't have to lie for that. We may lie to the Holy Spirit. That is a sin. Well, I don't have to say that. You see, the ultimate issue of this man and his wife. I have often said that in many respects, it's good when wife and husbands are alike. Huh? Yes. But in many respects, it's very bad. Because here you have a wife and husband. My God, both of whom are going to church. There is not one to balance out the other. That's not good, you know, brothers and sisters. When it comes on us serving God, we need to have independent minds. A wife must not love her husband so much that she will go down the hell road with him. A husband must not love his wife so much. I claim it's love because I'm not sure that's love. Must not. There ought to have been something in one of these people when they were conniving it to say, well, wait. We are not dealing so much with Peter, you know. He's only the human agent through whom we deal with God. So, both of us here discussing rather to lie to them. We don't have to lie. My God, couldn't one of them catch up the other? Let us learn from this. Because a lot of times in our modern time, wife and husband relative blood ties act like that in the church. None to say, no, that is wrong. Or, no, let's not go that route. This is the route I think Christ wants us to take. Very important. Another way that Christian may, or other people, may sin against the Holy Spirit is that we can try the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? Test the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. Please, don't test Christ, don't test God, don't test the Holy Spirit. You see them people who tell you all the miracles that they can do, and if you're not careful, they go up on top of the building and jump down. I test them, I test God, you know. And they're going to break their neck. Don't test God. Don't do anything you are trying out. Do the things in life that you have to do, trusting in God that He will come through for you. Don't test the Holy Spirit. Don't see how far you can go with Him. Acts 5:9.
Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord?
To tempt or try the Spirit of the Lord. That is, none of you were able to catch up each other. As both of you connive and plan this out, it did not dawn on any of you that you might be going too far. What it says there, brother?
And said Peter unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out.
You know, every time I say the first century church could have been a frightening thing. Truly, truly. A man tried to enter the gospel, Paul tried to preach, Paul striking with blindness, just like that. And here, wife and husband, you have a funeral at church. You know, I wonder if Peter could preach at that funeral. Because the whole community would be saying, Peter killed them, you know. But you know what, brothers and sisters? Peter could preach at that funeral. Because what was done put fear in God's people. Because they realized that Peter was only an agent. God, the Holy Spirit, Christ was behind everything. Let us not see how far we can go in tempting or trying the Holy Spirit. Another way we can sin against the Spirit, we can insult the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 10, 29.
Of how much sore punishment?
Start at verse. Just read verse 25 and step to 29.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together.
Everybody hear that? Don't stay away from worship, plainly put. Worship, public worship, assembling, fellowshipping with other Christians to worship God is a command. God expects it. It is due to God. We should be glad for the opportunity. We should look forward to coming out every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. Here is the command. Not forsaking the assembling of yourself together. And the rest of that verse tells you, don't take the bad examples of Christians who might be on their way out. Now that's verse 25. Then what the passage now does is to list some of the things that do go wrong when we start missing the assembly. And we don't have time to read 26, 27, 28. All of this is telling us what is possible and likely to go wrong with our spiritual life when we miss worship. But verse 29.
Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who have trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace.
You do despite to the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of grace. And all this is coming from staying away and doing your own business when you should set some time aside for God. You ever tell relatives that you have some food and it eats and left, and some relative will tell you they don't eat and left. Well, the Almighty God doesn't want our eat and left, especially when it comes to prime time. The Almighty God wants us to, our very offering supposed to be laid aside. The Almighty God doesn't want us to, well, this bill is to be paid, and this one, and let me take care of this one, and take care of this one. And then at the end of the day, okay, do I have anything left? Okay, yes, what? Okay, I have a little left, I can give some offering. God never accepts that type of offering. You hear, Christian? Never. Because he has already told us how to give. So, if it is what is left over of our time, if we are in worship when we don't have other pressing things to do, then God doesn't want that time. So what the brothers read in Hebrews 10:29 are some of the wrong things which follow from verse 25. And one or two more points and the lesson is yours. Not only are we and men and women sin in these ways I've mentioned, we have just looked on the fact that we may insult or do despite to the Holy Spirit. Men may blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Did you know that this is the sin the Bible says there is no forgiveness for? Blaspheme against the Spirit is stated in the book of Mark chapter 3, verse 29. Let us hear it. Let us hear it.
But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation.
Wait, may I? We are closing. Prayer, just one more point. May I? We come back to the danger that the mouth poses for us. Huh? You see, we can develop the habit of talking bad about others so much until character is formed. It is a part of our character. We always have to engage in the little gossip, the little mischievous talk, the little malignity here and there. Until over years, that becomes a part where it's difficult to drop. Where we reach the point where even against the Holy Spirit, we may talk bad. Did you know that blaspheme means to talk? To talk against. That's simply what the word blaspheme means. To speak against. And the passage says that when you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you will not be for...
But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation.
Never forgiveness. When you speak derogatorily bad against the Holy Spirit, let us make sure that we don't. And last but not least, we can quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. Let us hear it. 1 Thessalonians, I think, chapter 5, 19.
Quench not the Spirit.
How do we do that? One, it means to put out the light up. And that means when the Holy Spirit guiding you by the Word, you ignore the direction the Word is giving. The word quench means to extinguish. You know, when you cut off the light, the word quench means to stifle the voice up. So let us not throw cold water on the effort of the Holy Spirit in our lives. These are but six or seven of the ways. There are other ways that we can sin against, blaspheme against, quench the Holy Spirit of grace. Let us learn. Remember, the first one that we mentioned had to do with the sin of the tongue. And that was the verse 29, our speech, and verse 30 is tied to verse 29. When verse 30 started about the sin we can commit against the Holy Spirit, it started on the basis of what was said in verse 29. And verse 29 is dealing with our speech, which might not be as Christ-like as it ought to be. If you are here tonight and if you are not a child of God, you can accept Christ as your Lord, as your Savior through believing in Christ, accepting that you are a sinner, repenting of your sin, confessing faith in Christ, and getting baptized for the removal of your sin. We are not here telling you something that this church put together. We are here telling you God's simple plan of salvation that was not put together by the church, but by heaven itself. You can step forward. The brother will be coming in a few seconds to share with us a song that will be sung to the honor and glory of God's name. While that song is sung, it's a good chance, if you recognize that you are a sinner, if you want to be forgiven so that the Almighty God through Jesus Christ can start walking with you as you go through life, there is no better opportunity to respond to Christ than now, to step forward. If you need to be spoken to further, we are available to doing that. Christ calls you as we stand and sing.